Today's message is your miracle is on your horizon. Your miracle is on your horizon. Does anybody here know what this coming Friday, April 6th, is? This coming Friday, April 6th, is what day? It's Good Friday. It's Good Friday, which commemorates the crucifixion of Jesus Christ and his death at Calvary over 2,000 years ago. So this coming Friday, April 6th, we are commemorating, we are celebrating Good Friday, the crucifixion and the death of Jesus at the cross over 2,000 years ago. And today I want to read from Matthew chapter 27. Matthew chapter 27. If you got a Bible, you can turn there. If not, I'll read it to you. All right, it says this. Then the governor's soldiers took Jesus into the praetorium and gathered the whole company of soldiers around him. They stripped him and put a scarlet robe on him, and then twisted together a crown of thorns and set it on his head. They put a staff in his right hand and knelt in front of him and mocked him. "Hail, King of the Jews," they said. They spit on him and took the staff and struck him on the head again and again. After they had mocked him, they took off the robe and put on his own clothes on him, and then they led him away to crucify him. Matthew 27, verse 32. As they were going out, they met a man from Cyrene named Simon, and they forced him to carry the cross. They came to a place called Golgotha, which means the place of the skull. There they offered Jesus wine to drink mixed with gall, but after tasting it, he refused to drink it. When they had crucified him, they divided up his clothes by casting lots. After sitting down, they kept watch over him there. Above his head, they placed the written charge against him. This is Jesus, the King of the Jews. Two robbers were crucified with him, one on his right and one on his left. Those who passed by hurled insults at him, shaking their heads and saying, "You who are going to destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, save yourself. Come down from the cross if you are the Son of God." In the same way, the chief priests, the teachers of the law, and the elders mocked him. "He saved others," they said, "but he can't save himself. He's the King of Israel. Let him come down now from the cross, and we will believe in him. He trusts in God. Let God rescue him now if he wants him, for he said, 'I am the Son of God.'" In the same way, the robbers who were crucified with him also heaped insults on him. Verse 45, "From the sixth hour until the ninth hour, darkness came over all the land. About the ninth hour, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, 'Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani,' which means, 'My God, why have you forsaken me?' When some of those standing there heard this, they said, 'He's calling Elijah.' Immediately, one of them ran and got a sponge. He filled it with wine vinegar, put it on a stick, and offered it to Jesus to drink. The rest said, 'Now leave him alone. Let's see if Elijah comes to save him.' And when Jesus had cried out again in a loud voice, he gave up his spirit. At that moment, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from the top to the bottom. The earth shook and the rocks split. The tombs broke open and the bodies of many holy people who had died were raised to life. They came out of their tombs, and after Jesus' resurrection, they went into the holy city and appeared to many people. When the centurion and those who were with him who were guarding Jesus saw the earthquake and all that had happened, they were terrified and exclaimed, 'Surely he was the Son of God.' Many women were there watching from a distance. They had followed Jesus from Galilee to care for his needs. Among them were Mary Magdalene, Mary, the mother of James and Joseph, and the mother of Zebedee's sons. As evening approached, there came a rich man from Arimathea named Joseph, who had himself become a disciple of Jesus. Going to Pilate, he asked for Jesus' body, and Pilate ordered that it be given to him. Joseph took the body, wrapped it in a clean linen cloth, and placed it in his own new tomb that he had cut out of the rock. He rolled a big stone in front of the entrance to the tomb and went away. Mary Magdalene and the other Mary were sitting there opposite the tomb." All right. How many here today would agree from what I read that this was a very dark day for Jesus? Good Friday. How many would agree? It's crucifixion day. They placed a crown of thorns on his head. They accused him. They mocked him, the chief priests and the teachers of the law. And they said, "He saved others, but he can't save himself," and so forth and so on. One of the criminals crucified on one of the sides of Jesus, also in the same way, heaped insults on him. So this was a really dark day in Jesus' life. He was going through a major valley in his life. How many here would agree? He was going through a major valley, some major darkness in his life. And then he says, in Matthew 27, verse 46, he says, "My God, why have you forsaken me?" You see, Jesus was going through this dark valley, this dark time, and he even felt forsaken by God. Now, feeling forsaken by God is not actually the same thing as actually being forsaken by God, but he was feeling forsaken by God. I guess God felt so far from him at that moment. And friend, today you might feel like Jesus. Maybe you feel like you're going through a really dark day in your life, through a valley in your life. And what did Jesus say in John chapter 15? This is what he says. John 15, 18. If the world hates you, keep in mind that it hated me first. If you belong to the world, it would love you as its own. As it is, you do not belong to the world, but I have chosen you out of the world. That is why the world hates you. Remember the words I spoke to you. No servant is greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will persecute you also. And so today, maybe you feel like Jesus did on Good Friday, like you're going through darkness, through a valley. Maybe you feel forsaken by God. Maybe you're struggling with an addiction. Maybe your dark valley is an addiction. Maybe it's depression in your emotions. You don't want to get up in the morning. You don't want to see anybody. You don't even want to eat. You're depressed on the inside. Maybe your valley, your darkness today is the loss of a loved one, sickness in your body, or sickness in the body of a loved one. Maybe it's financial devastation. You don't have enough money to pay your bills. Maybe it's the loss of a house or transportation. Maybe it even feels that God has abandoned you because he feels so far away. Jesus felt that way. He said, my God, why have you forsaken me? And maybe you feel like God has forsaken you, but I'm here to tell you today that God has not forsaken you. God is always with you. God loves you. God will never give up on you. God has got your back. Would you agree? Say it to you today again. God is faithful. God has got your back. God will never leave you. God will never forsake you. So Jesus was crucified, right? It's one of the most humiliating forms of death. He was buried in a tomb. But there was a miracle in the death of Jesus on the cross. There was a miracle in the death on the cross itself. What was that? The cross is so important. Why is that? Because what now? That's it. He saved us from our sins. He took our sins on that cross. He died upon a cross for our sins so that you and I would not have to die in hell eternally. Billy Graham says this about the cross. Sin's masterpiece of shame and hate became God's masterpiece of mercy and forgiveness. Through the death of Christ upon the cross, sin itself was crucified for those who believe in him. So there was a miracle in the cross itself. The miracle is the gift of eternal life by faith in Jesus Christ because he died upon that cross for our sins. And by faith in Jesus Christ, you can become a brand new creation. That is the greatest miracle of all miracles, right? Is a renewed spirit, becoming a new person in Jesus Christ. Therefore, if anybody is in Christ, he is a brand new creation. The old has gone and the new has come. Say it with me today. There was a miracle in the cross itself. That's where Jesus took my sins, so that by faith in him, I could have eternal life. Friend, I'm here to tell you today that there was also a miracle after the death and burial of Jesus Christ. There was a miracle also beyond the cross, after the death and burial of Jesus Christ. What miracle was that? Resurrection from the grave. In this account in Matthew 27, Jesus proves that he was stronger than death. Jesus had the victory over death. How do we see that? It says this, that when Jesus cried out in Matthew 27:50, he gave up his spirit. At that moment, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth shook and the rocks split. The tombs broke open and the bodies of many holy people who had died were raised to life. They came out of the tombs. So Jesus showed through the resurrection of these people that what? He was stronger than death. Would you agree today? He also showed in his very own life that he was stronger than death, because if you turn to Matthew chapter 28, it talks about the what of Jesus. It talks about the resurrection of Jesus from the grave. And it says this in Matthew 28:1. After the Sabbath, at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and, going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciple, he has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee." Jesus was stronger than death. God raised him up from the grave over 2,000 years ago. And friend, that was the miracle on Jesus' horizon, was resurrection from the dead. I'm here to tell you today that just when it looks the darkest in your life is when the miracle is on your horizon. It may be dark for you. You may feel like you're going through a really low valley like Jesus did on Good Friday. But just when it seems the darkest in your life, there is a miracle around the corner in your life, beyond your wildest imaginations. Could you say amen to that today? God has got a miracle in store for your life. And then Paul the Apostle talks about the resurrection of Jesus Christ in Ephesians chapter 1. We read this just the other night, but it bears repeating today. Ephesians 1 verse 15. He writes to the Ephesians this: "For this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and about your love for all the saints, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and his incomparably great power for us who believe." He prays that the Ephesians would know and experience the incomparably great power of God for us who believe. And it's talking to us as well today. And he describes this power. "This power is like the working of his mighty strength, which he exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms." This word power in Ephesians 1:19 is what? He's saying that I pray that you would know, that you would experience God's incomparably great power. That word power is dunamis. Dunamis. Dunamis is force. Specifically, miraculous power. That's what he's saying. He's saying, I pray that you would experience God's incomparably great dunamis, miraculous working power for us who believe. And then he goes on to describe this power. He says, "This power is like the working of God's mighty strength, which he exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead." He's saying this, that this power has the ability to raise dead situations back to life. And did you know, friend, that you can experience this power in your life? This dunamis power, this miraculous working power of God in your life. You can experience it today like people 2,000 years ago experienced it. He describes this dunamis power. This dunamis power, this miraculous power, has the ability to raise dead situations back to life. And God exerted that power. He demonstrated that power when he raised Jesus Christ from the dead 2,000 years ago. And if he did it for Jesus, he can also do it for us. The Word of God says that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That means Jesus never changes. That means God never changes. The God who raised Jesus from the grave 2,000 years ago has the ability, the strength, to raise your dead situations back to life. It doesn't matter how dead it feels in your life. We serve a God of resurrection. Is that good news? Say it again. It doesn't matter how dead that area of your life looks. We serve a God of resurrection, a God who raises back to life areas that seem dead. He is the miracle-working God that we serve. And you know, you can experience this power, but it starts with making Jesus Christ your Savior and your Lord. If you're just doing your own thing with your life, saying, God, this is my life, I do with my life what I want to do with it, you're living in rebellion towards God. And God is not obligated to bless anybody who is rebelling against Him. He's not obligated to bless anybody who is slapping Him in the face with a rebellious, prideful attitude. Let me say it again. You can have this dunamis power of God operating in your life. God wants to do something wonderful in your life. It may seem dark right now. It may seem like you're in a really low place right now, like Jesus was on the cross. But in the midst of your darkness, in the midst of your darkest hour, a miracle is on the horizon. And what was the miracle for Jesus on the horizon in his life, in the midst of his darkest hour? What was his miracle? It was what? What was it? Defeating death, resurrection from the grave. And I want to tell you a story in my life. Some of you may have heard this before, but back in 2006, towards the end of the year, I was going through some severe depression in my life concerning certain things that happened in my life. And I was doubting God's love for me. And I was just the lowest of the feeling the lowest of the low at that time. This was around July, August, September-ish. Actually, more like August, September of 2006. Just feeling real low. Didn't want to get up in the morning. Didn't want to eat. Didn't want to be around people. And I felt as good as dead in my emotions. I felt as good as dead in my emotions. But through a process of time, some time went by, and a lady spoke to me, said that God put it on her heart to tell me that Jesus loves me, and that just lit up my life. And not only that, but I did a few things in my life. I actually helped sow financially into the lives of two families that were needier than me, and God just supernaturally blessed my life. But I saw the resurrection-like power of God. I saw the dunamis power of God that year manifested in my life. Like I said, I was depressed. I was so low in my emotions. I didn't want to leave my house. But towards the end of that year, I sowed into these families. I saw the resurrection power of God go into effect in my life. And when I sowed into these families and experienced the resurrection power, the dunamis power of God in my life, I felt like I was soaring like an eagle with the Almighty God. I was depressed, right? But then I experienced the dunamis, miraculous working power of God in my life. And it was just like towards the rest of the year, 2006, I was just soaring with God. If God could do it for me, God can do it for you. You may feel dead in your emotions today, but this dunamis power of God can bring back to life your deadened emotions. You may feel financially like you're dead right now. You don't have a penny to your name, but the dunamis power of God can go into effect in your finances, and God can do a miracle in your life. It may seem really dark right now concerning your job, concerning your finances, but only God knows. He has a miracle around the corner in your life. A better job, a better paying job, unexpected finances. Is that good news today? You might be sick in your body. Maybe a loved one is sick in their body, and maybe physically your body feels as good as dead. You're going through a really dark valley. It may feel like you're dying on the inside. Maybe you're afraid that you're going to die physically, but guess what? We serve a God of dunamis power, and this dunamis power of God can go into effect in your life. Even though it seems really dark right now in your body, God can bring back to life that seemingly dead area in your physical being. Is that we serve a God of power, dunamis. Would you agree today? God has got something so good in store for your life. I don't know what it is that you're dealing with, friend, but God has got something miraculous. He's got a breakthrough in store for your life. Don't let anybody or anything sow any doubts into your mind. How many here today want to experience the dunamis power of God in their life, this miraculous power of God in your life? How many right now are going through a tough situation in your life? How many here? Okay. How many need to know that God can bring back to life this area in your existence? All right. He can do it for you. God wants to demonstrate His power in your life, but He requires something of us. What is it that God requires of you and me?
Faith.
But without faith, it is impossible to please God, because he who comes to God must believe that God exists and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Hebrews 11:6. What pleases God? The Bible tells us. If the lack of faith, right, displeases God, but without faith, it's impossible to please God. That means that with faith, it is possible to do what? To please God. Faith pleases God. God honors faith. What is faith? Faith is knowing that you know that you know deep down on the inside that God can turn it around for you like He turned it around for Jesus 2,000 years ago after He was placed in the grave. How did God turn it around for Jesus? He raised Him up from the grave. How can God turn it around for you? He can raise your dead situation back to life. But he requires faith. Jesus had great faith in Father God. He and the Father were one. He had undoubting trust in Father God. And that's the same faith we need to have in God. Doubtless faith. Not allowing doubt for even a moment to enter your mind. Knowing that you know that you know. This is what faith is. Knowing that you know that you know that the thing, the good thing God promised to you, He will do in your life. And He's looking for a persevering faith, a faith that doesn't quit when the going gets tough. When the going gets tough, to toughen God by faith, get going. God is looking for faith. That's what He honors. God has got life in store for you, friends. He's got a miracle in store for your life. He's got something better than where you're at right now. He wants to demonstrate His dunamis, miraculous, working power in your life. It can be demonstrated in your life. We serve a God who is omnipotent, who is all-powerful. Demons tremble at His name. And you can experience that power, that good, loving power in your life, but you have to have what? Faith in God.